Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
We really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Delvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
They're all happy because we're having beautiful weather, so that's cool.
It is beautiful weather. I don't know what it was there this morning, but it was 65 this morning, and I think 80 or 82 for the high. And it's getting there. That was nice.
Yep, just about the same. I think it was a little bit warmer this morning. It was 71 this morning, and then 82, 83 was the high. Mike says there he's no longer a Tampa person. He's now an Orlando person.
I'm in the upper elevation of Florida. Yes.
Yeah. In the highlands there. In
the highlands?
The highlands of Florida.
Yes. I think it's 52 feet or something. I forgot what it is.
As opposed to sea level. This is
our Rocky Mountain area of Florida.
That's right.
Did you hear something? Did you hear that? I heard it yesterday, but is Florida really trying to separate into a South Florida and North Florida?
Yes. What's going on here is that
it's
legislatures in South Florida, in Miami, said that Tallahassee is in the panhandle, and they do not understand what's going on with global warming and how South Florida is going to have to be fighting the rising waters and everything. And so they want to create two different states. So South Florida can be better prepared, Naples and Miami and stuff like that, be better prepared for the rising seas. And Tallahassee doesn't really know this, so therefore they want to create a new state, South Florida, so that they can better handle that.
I heard that yesterday, and I thought it was a joke. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. How can you? Yeah. And they're talking about Polk County or something being the line, and to Pinellas, I think, and everything south would be the 51st state of the U.S. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Tampa would still be in Florida. But one thing they brought up, too, is that USF could actually then be University of South Florida. So, you know,
wow.
I don't know. It's how many times have we, I think this year, this initiative coming up in a couple of weeks here, they tried to get a ballot on the California polls, the California voting, to divide California into four states, North California, South California, Central, and I don't know what the other one, but yeah, they're looking at dividing California into four states, but that wasn't able to get on the ballot. There wasn't enough signatures. But then Texas talks about, you know, dividing into a couple of states. It happens all the time.
They've always done that. Texas has always been. And I heard North and South California don't like each other. You know, they're like two different, totally different sections, and they don't like each other.
So. It is. Without question. I lived in Northern California, and it's completely different than Southern California. I mean, they can draw the line right through Monterey, and really it's almost like two areas anyway. I mean, North and South, it's just going to be Florida and South Florida, just like Virginia and West Virginia. It's going to be Florida and South Florida. So, but yeah, it will never happen.
I didn't think so. I didn't know they were serious about actually trying to do that. So
they were the people. The people who put it up was really serious. They were serious about doing it. So it's too interesting.
Yeah.
I know. One of the things on the opening there said sometimes we get off topic. Tonight is one of those times. We're going to be haunted tonight. We're going to talk to. We're going to bring in. Joy Neighbors of Joy's Joy About Wine and A Grave Interest is going to join us again. And Mike's with us tonight. Mike is actually, he's usually in the studio with me, but he called in because of, lack of internet in a new area now. He's now in the Highlands of Florida. So,
that's right.
But and I usually announce at this time too, RadioDJMike.com, but I don't know what's happening with that either. So,
yeah, I don't know about. I wasn't on last weekend, and I don't think I can get on this weekend. But as soon as I can, I'll be back up there. So
okay, so everybody, RadioDJMike.com, and just hang in there. He'll be back with you. So
awesome.
Yeah. Well, I need to go get Joy, and I'm going to leave Mike on the. On the air, so you could talk, or I can put on the background music, and you can just hum along. But
I'll come up with the lyrics. I know you came out with the newsletter, and right? Didn't that come out Thursday? Whenever I got it, well, I think it was Thursday, yesterday or day before. It was yesterday. I think I got it finally, but. So that's this weekend, and I can't pull it up because it's on my phone, which I'm on, and I can't get it on my tablet or the computer because there's no way. And so now I'm like, I could talk about that, but there's no – so anyway, I'll just be quiet.
Well, we'll talk about it anyway because we do have a pretty cool event this weekend. We have San Antonio Art Fest, and so – It's a pretty and not San Antonio, Texas, San Antonio, Florida.
No.
It's pretty cool.
The, Rattlesnake.
Yeah, they had it last weekend.
I went to that one year actually. It was different. A long time ago, I went to it, and one of the rattlesnakes they had got loose in this, where they were doing a demonstration, and the people in the front, I was in the second or third row, and everybody just freaked out because this thing came right towards us. And they that's not cool.
they don't do – they used to round them up. They used to do a rattlesnake roundup. But then so many rattlesnakes were being caught, they said, wait a minute now, this is starting to affect the environment because – a lot of areas started to get this whole bunch of field mice coming out, and they're going, why do we have so many field mice? Well, they were gathering up so many rattlesnakes that it was affecting the field mice population. So they said, no more. We're not going to round them up anymore. We're going to quit doing that. So they quit rounding them up. They still had the rattlesnake show, and the rattlesnake milker and all that stuff still does it. But they don't gather rattlesnakes anymore. So, which is cool, I guess. Mm. They have Jack Russell Terrier races, and they have turtle races, and they have all sorts of pig races on it, and all sorts. It's big now. They had it last weekend, one day, Saturday, and I think they said there was something like 25,000 people showed up.
Oh, wow.
It's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, we get overflow at the winery. We're only about 12, 13 miles from it. We get a lot of overflow because people just get tired of fighting the crowds and stuff. But
gosh, what a shame.
Yeah.
All that business goes to you.
But it's cool. The Rattlesnake Festival is cool. I was one 2 years ago too, and it's a lot of fun. But it's gotten so big now. You just sort of shoulder to shoulder walking around and all that. Not fun anymore. But they have it every year. Okay. So anyone listening, if you want to, the third Saturday in October, every year they have it. So
get up close to a rattlesnake. Woohoo!
There you go. Yeah.
And other animals. There's other things up there.
There are.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a fun event. And it's all the Kiwanis put it on, and it's all fundraisers, all money raisers for fundraisers and different things. And so it's all for good cause, too. So.
Good cause.
So
okay.
I'm going to let you talk to the people, and I'm going to go get Joy. And
I can't even do sound effects from here.
No, you can't. You can't do anything. You have to really talk. You can always.
Sitting here.
So
nothing happened.
Let me start this, and that way. You can.
There we go.
There you go. So I'll be back real soon. Let me go get Joy and bring her back with us.
All right. I guess he's on. I guess I'm still here. Yep, we are on hold right now. Hopefully Joy is still sitting by the phone waiting. Did you play the cool little jazz music of, I forgot who that was. Yeah, jazz favorites you've always wanted to hear. Right here on All About Wine. Sit back, relax. Wait for Ron to bring on the guest tonight. I forgot what song that was. If you'd like to hear your favorite jazz tune, give us a call right now. Sunny skies and those cool mornings, just like the jazz. I think that's Ron on the jazz piano, down in Pooler Village. I have no idea who that is. Now, 7:14.
All right. Yeah. You still there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
All right. Have you talked?
I did a little bit.
Good. Okay. We got Joy waiting for us here. Let me bring her on the line, on the program here. Hello, Joy. Welcome to All About Wine.
You got to turn the music off.
Hello. How are you?
Normally, I would turn the music off. It's still going around.
Yeah. I tried to call her first, and it said, the line is busy. Please try again later. And I'm going, busy? She knows I'm calling. Then I called again, but I think the problem was I put dashes between the numbers like I'm supposed to, and it said it was busy. Then I did it without the dashes, and it connected. So
well, the music is still going. So
there we go. All right. I forgot that last time, too.
All right, no music today. So how's it going, guys?
Excellent.
Cool.
I don't know if he's still there. Yeah, very cool.
He's still there.
Everybody's
so what were you doing at Busch Gardens?
What?
Mike?
What happened?
I said, what were you doing at Busch Gardens? Isn't that what you did last week?
Yeah, I have been there for, that's like former employment. Now I'm in Orlando working for a different company that is much bigger, huge, and going through that now. So, it was just a move, and I don't have internet access yet, so I'm still waiting on that, but that's all right. I'm on the phone. It's like, I guess you are too. So.
I am.
So if you all make me mad, I'll just X you out here.
Okay.
I can't control the audio or anything from this end, and I'm not used to that. So, but that's okay. Ron can do okay on that. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, we got everybody hooked up here, so that's that's a step in the right direction. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I missed the last week's show. So one of these days I'll catch up with that as soon as I can. And it's that time of the year, and it's so great to see what else is out there, and I know you already talked about a few places last week. That's what Ron and I were talking about before the show. So, this is that time of year.
When Joy said that she also had some places to talk about, some new ones to talk about, haunted places and all. And let's give her another plug again. Mike hadn't heard this yet, but Joy's starting a new business in November. That she's also moved to the Cincinnati area, and she relocated, and she's starting a new business. And instead of me telling you about it, since it's her business, I'll let her bring it up again. So that way, it reminds the listeners, and she can tell you also, Mike.
Cool. Okay.
Cool. I am starting a tour business. It is called Tour de Joy. And what we are going to do is offer half-long and day-long tours in the Cincinnati tri-state area. And it's going to give people a chance to get out of the city and see a little more of the rustic side of life. I've got tours planned for November and December. They'll mainly be in Indiana, but we're looking at taking them to some of the lesser-known wineries. And these are not wineries that are automatically on an Indiana wine trail. These are wineries that are just mom and pop. They may just be, a couple of people. They may just have five different types of wines. But it's going to give you a chance to go in, to try the wines, to talk to the winemaker, to see how they're doing it small scale with a very small vineyard, maybe a hand bottling line, and kind of get a feel for the grassroots of the wine industry and see what's going on in the Hoosier wine world. So we're going to do some tours like that. We're going to do some holiday shopping tours. We're going to do tour some of the historic mansions in southern Indiana and see them all decked out in the holiday finery and eat some good German food in a couple of places and just have a good time.
Oh, that's cool. Now, are these guided? Do you meet at one area? Do you meet at the particular location and go from there? Or how do you initiate the tour from
what I'm going to do is I'm going to have them, the first couple of months, we're going to meet at a location in Harrison, Ohio, and then we're going to across the border into Indiana and do some cool things like that. We'll go to Madison, Indiana, which it was Mark Twain that said it is the prettiest small river town in the country.
Huh.
So we'll see them all decorated up for Christmas. We're going to go ahead. We will do some casino hops, too. And those will be day-long trips to, there's three casinos on the Ohio River right there. And we're going to hit all three of them, give them a couple hours at each, and see which one Lady Luck smiles at them the best at.
Oh, that's cool. Well, what about what kind of transportation? Are they taking their own vehicles, or are you taking one common?
Yes, we will have a tour bus that they will hop on, and we will take them to all the sites, guide them through, get them their little special discounts and little coupons and fun deals on top of it, and then we'll bring them back home. The tours in November, December are actually going into the evening so that you can see the holiday lights. And one tour has a Christmas tree lighting, and I'm trying to think. One tour has, I think it's a parade. There's you know, several different little towns with different events going on. So it's kind of cool to put them to a different place each time and let them, you know, celebrate the holidays somewhere different.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool. And they don't have to use their own gas. They just meet at one place and hop aboard and leave the driving, to somebody else. And they can have a good time.
That's
awesome. That's really cool.
Which is really good with wine tasting, too.
Oh, yeah.
And your website, you're setting up a website for that, too, which I understand is not up and running yet, but you do have a name and everything for the website.
Yes, and that should be up either Monday or Tuesday. We are ironing out kinks now. Everything's written and posted. It's just that, that button doesn't work. So we're getting that all ironed out. But that will
be so cool.
Tour de Joy, and it's TourDJoy.com. And Facebook will also be up, so it will be the same thing there.
Wow. That's so cool. This is
going to
be busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this just for the season, or is it going to be, do you think you're going to expand maybe more next year and keep it year-round type of thing, or do different things?
Yeah, I want to do year-round. I already have some chocolate tours scheduled for February.
Ooh. Ooh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this puppy going. This is going to be fun.
Oh,
wow.
I'm starting to see a pattern here that it's not really for your clients. It's really for you.
Oh, I gave it away. Chocolate, wine, historic tours.
Yeah.
And you know next fall there will be cemetery tours.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
So, yeah, I think it'll kind of end up being my little guilty pleasure slash business.
It sounds that way. It sounds that way. Well, great. This is we talked about this a little bit last week, and you said you weren't going to have the site up until November, so you put it in high gear, it looks like. So.
We did. My husband kind of gave me the striking the match and saying, come on, so I did.
Very good.
I'm a procrastinator, so, you know, when he goes, come on, it's like, I better kick this up a notch.
Yeah, you're good. So we have a possibility to take All About Wine on the road, and then we go up there and be part of the tour and broadcast live, and wow, that all sounds great to me, so.
Oh, that'd be fun. When are we
going to
do it?
There you go, Ron.
I'm ready.
Well, not in the winter, because we live in Florida and we're not going to
go
there in the winter. So
I understand.
I saw people wearing coats this morning, and it was 65. So
wow.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Really? Come on. Take the gloves off. It's not that cold.
Yeah.
But, 65 and they're wearing
30,
coats.
40
so.
Degrees.
Oh, but the leaves are pretty, though. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous up here. Gorgeous.
Yeah, they're saying that that New England states are having one of the best fall color displays that they've had in years. It was it got warm, and then it gives this cold snap, but it's back to being warm again, and the leaves are just absolutely gorgeous in Vermont and Maine and New Hampshire and all the area up there. They said it's just absolutely gorgeous. So,
love to see that.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of year, so it's like, you know, I want full bursts of color.
Not here.
Not here.
Yeah.
Not here. Oh, well. Florida in the summer, winter, spring, fall, all the same. So, you, Joy, you've got some other haunted establishments that you mentioned last week that you were going to tell us about?
Sure, I have a ton. I have haunted, good heavens, what, I'm trying to think, what did we talk about and what didn't? Well, I think we pretty much covered most of what I have done this year. The Slippery Noodle was, of course, last week, and we talked about the distillery in Kentucky.
Right.
And let's see, what else is there close by? There was, I was telling you about Indy, too, and I did this, I think, last year, the Gaslight Inn. Which was actually another place where Dillinger hung out. He was big in Indy, and I never really knew that. But the Gaslight was another of these lodging establishments at the time where he was found when he was in the city, and they always made him welcome. And there's actually a gunshot, actually a gun slug, however you say that, bullet hole, how's that, in the brick, where someone had stepped in one night knowing he was getting his drink at the bar and took a pot shot at him. And they missed him, but they left the slug in the wall so you could see that. But having grown up in Indiana, I did not know that he was that well known in Indiana.
In Indiana, yeah.
But he was. So that's just, you know, some of the Hoosier history you don't become aware about at times.
Hoosier lore. You know,
yes.
I've noticed a lot of, I've talked and I've looked up some stuff. I haven't got on the phone with anybody yet. But I noticed a lot of the places that are haunted, the ones in the East tend to be haunted by Civil War and you know, early Americans, early visitors, whereas as you go further west, it becomes more and more Indians and more modern figures, I guess, if you will, as opposed to the older Civil War hauntings. And that just seems odd that to me. It just struck me as odd that we want to get Indian hauntings all around the country, because, you know, I mean, a lot, if you read any Indian books and stuff like that, they always, you know, threaten to come back and their spirits will not give peace to the areas because of the white man and all that. But you don't hear a lot of that about the hauntings in areas. So, you know, I don't know.
That's an interesting observation, because now, being in the Midwest, you know, there's kind of a mixture. I have not really heard of that many of the Indian hauntings per se. It's like you said, that's more of a Western theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder what the difference is, because, you know, we've got the Cumberland Gap, and we've got, this was at one point in time, the Midwest was the Wild West.
Yeah.
Why are we not getting the same vibes that they do out there? It's kind of odd, but it's an interesting thing to try to pursue.
And you know, and I noticed that, and I don't know why either. I mean, you know, it just, like down here in Florida, we have a haunted winery, Bully Hill, which they see as being haunted by Indians, by the Seminoles and stuff like that. And you know, that's great, but you would think that the whole country would be getting apparitions from Indian spirits simply because, well, we took it away from them. You know, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting Now, you mentioned the Civil War, and now that's something that you do run into, at least I have in Kentucky. There is a house, it's called Whitehall, and I'm trying now to find it, and I can't pull it up here.
Yeah,
it was
that's
where. Oh, okay. And it is right here. Here we go. Yay. It is where Cassius Clay, an abolitionist, it was his home. It's near Richmond, Kentucky. And what is interesting, and I toured it. It was just, it was fantastic. And these people, the guides, the staff, are very open about the fact that the house is haunted. Very, very haunted. And they will tell you, you know, the things, there are lights that can be seen. They'll shut the place down for the night. The last guide goes out, you know, locks the door. And it's a huge winding drive, long way down to the main road. And as they walk down to the parking lot and get in their car and look back, there are lights on in the house. And the guide I had told me he's gone back several times, unlocked, gone in, and there are no lights on. But when he gets back down to the parking lot to get in the car, the lights are back on.
Uh-huh.
He was telling about a time when he showed up. They were going to have a morning reception. He was there early and locked it. He was waiting for the woman who's going to bring the catered food in. And he said he was sitting in the office and he could hear conversations, very, very unintelligible, but he could hear the mumblings. And he thought, okay, the caterers have shown up, got up, went into the dining room, and it was dark. There was no one there. And he went back to the office and could hear it again. And he could hear dishes clinking and silverware and glasses. And he said it sounded like a party had already started. And when he walked back in, there's nothing going on. And there's the back stairway. You can at times smell rose perfume. And they're thinking the lady of the house, that was her favorite perfume. In Cassius Clay's den, at times you can pick up pipe smoke.
Oh.
So it's, what's odd is when you really think about it, the hauntings aren't just visuals. It's not just apparitions. You can smell something, and there would be nothing else there. And you have to kind of figure out, you know, if you're home alone and no one smokes and you smell pipe tobacco, where did that come from?
Yeah,
exactly.
Or, you know, if you hear a sound that doesn't jive with anything in the location you're at, where did that come from? So it's that situation of hauntings can be more than just something you see. It can also be something you hear or smell.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the interesting southern hauntings
now,
that I came
across. No, I just spirits. We talk about these hauntings, and they're usually from spirits that have been wronged or have died at that location and they hang around, or that is their home. And let's, you know, transition over to a grave entrance, which is another one of your passions. Based on the fact that most spirits are found in places where where it's their homes or business or stuff like that, you would come to the conclusion that graveyards are a rather safe place not to find spirits.
For the most part, I would agree with that, because really, they are going to haunt more than likely places that were part of their lives, places where the tragedy occurred, and most of the time tragedies don't occur in the cemeteries. But I have had instances where I have been in cemeteries, and I've been in hundreds, so it's not surprising. There are a few that kind of stand out there. And just to give you a couple, there is one actually that was very close to our home in Illinois. It's far back, a dirt lane. And there used to be a little town called Charlottesville on the Ambra River. And something happened. They had a mill. They shipped things up and down the river. And at some point in time, this town disappeared, literally disappeared. There was nothing left but their cemetery. And I talked my husband into going there one day. And it was a nice autumn day. And we usually, when we shoot cemeteries, he goes for the interesting and bizarre things. And I'm documenting symbols and stones. So we go for totally different reasons. But I was at one end of the cemetery, and it's fairly large. It had maybe 60, 70 people buried there. I mean, this was an actual town at one point. And he was on the other side. And as I'm standing on the east side shooting stones, it felt like there was someone looking over my shoulder. And it became eerie enough that I thought, well, you know, I can always head over to where he is. So I'm walking over that direction, and I stopped, and it was like I felt something. I didn't hear something, but I felt something, a reason to turn around. And as I did, someone brushed my cheek, just like you would run someone your fingers across someone's face. And I thought, okay, that's enough of that. So I'm gone. I'm on the other side. You know, this stuff happens to me, but I am not one of those people who is going, oh, how cool. I'm going, no, you get the wrong girl. I'm over here now, okay? Don't show me too much. I don't want to know. We were in another little cemetery, maybe an hour from where we lived, and we're walking along. It is an extremely old cemetery. It is one of the first settled towns in the state of Illinois. So this is very, very old. We're walking along, and I see this corner of the cemetery with all these trees hanging down. Looks very spooky, and I'm thinking, oh, I got to go in there and see, you know, what kind of stones are there. So I'm in there shooting, and nothing, you know, nice, bright, sunny day, nothing really clued me in that anything was going on strange, except I'd found this really cool stone. And I'm taking pictures, and I thought, oh, I got to tell Brian. And I could hear footsteps coming up behind me in the leaves, and I thought, oh, cool, he's already here. And as I turned around, the footsteps stopped behind me, and there's no one there. And I thought, well, it's time I got out of this spooky little corner. So long. That's usually what happens is I will hear someone or something approach me. Now, a cemetery in Indiana, no one is taking care of it. It's located in a small town. The city can't afford to take care of it. And no group or organization has stepped in to take care of it. So it is in disrepair. Vandals have been there. Stones have been turned over, have been broken. Oh. Grass was not cut. Limbs were not picked up. But I wanted to document it before it gets in worse shape. And it's up on a hill, pulled in, parked at the top of the hill, got out, and Brian, who is not sensitive to anything like this at all, heard a child laugh. And I thought, well, how cool. I mean, it wasn't me this time. And we're looking around. There's no one around. There's no homes around. Okay, well, that's a little odd, but cool. We walked around shooting. He went one direction, I went the other. And I'm standing on the slope of a hill. And, again, it's autumn. These things happen the most to me in autumn and spring for whatever reason. It's autumn. I'm standing here, and I'm taking photos, and I can hear a dog coming up behind me. You know how their tags rattle, and I could hear ching, 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 ching. And I love dogs, so I have no fear of them. It was that, okay. I finished taking the photos, and he was getting closer and closer. And as I turned around, I thought, this is a really big dog. And as I turned around to look, the noise stopped, and there was nothing there. Wow, okay, we have a ghost dog.
And a ghost
I turn
dog.
Back, I catch over at the side of the woods a man standing back in the shadows, long black coat on. And I thought, well, maybe it's his dog. And I turned around again. No dog. Turn around. No man. I was thinking, oh, well, okay, we just will move to another side. So I go to another area. I go to a newer area, thinking, because I was in an older area. And I thought, okay, well, let's just go to the newer area.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, well, not necessarily a good idea. I'm walking through, and as I walk past a grave, I hear this like a pneumatic elevator door, you know, the whoosh, as the door opens, and I felt the breeze, chilly air. And I stopped, and I looked, and it closed. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, that was like a portal thing. That was bizarre. And I tried for 15 minutes when Brian found me. I'm standing in this area, stepping this way, stepping back, stepping this, trying to make it happen. How did I step? What did I do? And he came over because it just looked totally bizarre. It was like I was doing some odd dance. And I could not recreate the noise. There was the chilly air that just blew up, and I don't know where that came from either. So there's a lot of things that happen in a cemetery that you just kind of go, I don't know what that was. There is the Indiana Insane Asylum in Indianapolis. And went there one day, and this was spring. Okay, this is not fall. This is spring. And the actual cemetery that was used by the asylum has been fenced off and closed. There's technically no way to get there, but we found a place and crawled under, and, you know, I'm taking photos, documenting it, going to do a blog on it. And as soon as you got in there, you felt like you were being watched. It was one of those situations where I was, you know, really chilly. I felt really, really not wanted, to the point of where it was almost like a pressure of being told to get out.
Wow.
And, it was a kind of a breathing of, this just was not a good place to be. And we had a friend with us, and I told Brian, I said, I've got to leave. Something doesn't want me in here, and I'm not going to stay. And so my friend and I left. And Brian went ahead and walked through, although he felt uncomfortable. He didn't see anything, but he did get pictures. And what is so eerie is there was a board that they had covered in plastic, and it gave, if they knew the names, it gave the name of the person that corresponded to the number on their stone. So he was walking through literally hundreds of just pads of concrete with a number in them. And then as they got closer to the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, they started to put names with those numbers. But you had to go to the board to see, you know, grave 1842 corresponded to this person's name.
Wow.
So I'm not surprised, realizing how they did that, why that cemetery was so oppressive, because these people were basically buried without identities. And there were several large graves that were just for several people. And
wow.
You know, you had 12, 15 people buried in a grave, and it covered those numbers, and there are no names. And they would let the people, the families, know when their loved one died in the asylum, and if no one cared enough to come and get the body, then it was buried on a plot of land.
A question arises, and first, Mike, you've been to cemeteries and all that. Have you ever felt uncomfortable? Have you ever felt anything like Joy just described?
Well, when I'm doing pictures and stuff, I do it during the daytime, and I don't. I haven't really felt that before, but I have visited a couple of them at nighttime, and for some reason, these were different cemeteries, but it's a different experience for me at least, because it just feels like different than, I don't know. It's like when you were talking about being inside a building. I've been in buildings where the air feels
heavy around you, and you know it shouldn't, because you know you're just in the someplace that you know it's in a different part of a building where all of a sudden the air just feels heavy where it didn't feel outside or in another part of the building, and you just feel like there's something there. But during the daytime, really nothing. I haven't ever had any experience like that or anything. But at night, yes, for some reason, it's just, I don't know if I'm more open to it at night or if it's just creepier and it kind of like, you know, everything kind of hits your senses. But at nighttime, yes, but not during the daytime. That would, if I saw or if I heard something like that, like the dog, or saw the man on the hill or something, and it would be time for me to leave.
And sometimes it is for me too.
You know, I got all the pictures I need.
And that brings up the point. You mentioned something, what you were just saying there, being open to it. Now, Joy, obviously you are open to this stuff, and Mike, you tend to be too. But do you think if a person is not open to that stuff, then there could be apparition, spirit, something around them, and they really don't recognize it for what it is because they're not, I don't want to say not expecting it, but because they're not open to it.
My own interpretation of it would be that if they're not open to it, maybe they're reading the cues differently than somebody who has experienced it or does know, like the air feeling heavier. They might dismiss it as, you know, some other kind of, you know, oh, it's humid or it just feels thick in here for some reason. Just dismiss it as something else. I don't know. It's just, you know, they haven't let their senses, you know, be that aware of, you know, maybe it's something else or maybe it's something that, you know, that they can't explain but they want to. I don't know. What do you think, Julie?
That makes sense. It's something I have been able to do since I was a child, and it's not something that I wanted to be able to do. But just, you know, it's one of those things that you realize things are happening that other people don't. And it's kind of an odd situation when you're going, oh, nobody else saw that or heard that or you know. And so it's one of those things you don't exactly, at least not when you're a kid, go out and say, hey, you know, it's, I talk to dead people. No, I can see and hear things, but I'm not going to tell you that either. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of it is the way you interpret it or how you handle the information coming in. Do you just dismiss it, or do you come up with an excuse for why that happened, or are you open enough to go, I'm curious why that happened. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
and I think that's a part of it is being willing to look at it and go, oh, I don't know why that happened.
You have the obvious visual cues, like you were talking about, you know, the guy going down the long driveway and there's a light on. You can see that, and then when you get back and it's off,
yeah,
you know, you can put two and two together and go, okay, there's something flipping that switch up there. But when it's a feeling of something, I think someone who's been through it knows how to decipher that and can say, or like a whisper or something. I've had that happen, or whistling, mm-hmm. and you're kind of, you know, some people might say, oh, it's just, you know, this happening, or maybe I didn't even hear it. You know, they're not at that level where they can't pick up on that kind of thing. That's just, you know, been around some people who have been even further than what I've been able to do. They've been doing this for years, and they say, hey, did you hear that whisper? I go, no, I haven't heard anything. Well, they pick up on it, and maybe because I just haven't trained myself or opened myself up enough to have that sensitivity or whatever you call it to say, oh, yeah, I did hear that. But eventually, when it does happen, you go, okay, happened, you know.
Yeah. Now, there is the flip side of that, too, is mm-hmm. going somewhere where you have people who are, you know, too anxious for something to happen. And I go into situations being skeptical, but just like Mike said, if something happens and you go, I cannot explain, like the light, why that's coming on and off and there's no one left in the building, that's something I'm concerned about. But to go somewhere and you've got a lot of people hoping something happens, it almost feeds into itself. And then I don't really take any of that seriously, because there's too many people wanting something to happen, and if one person hears it, then another person hears it, and, well, if you didn't hear it, I just didn't hear it. So
yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't, but I'm saying a lot of this kind of feeds into itself, so that I'm
yeah.
a little more skeptical on if there's a huge group of people.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I look, you know, skeptically, I look for other types of evidence, like if you take a picture and there's something in there,
mm-hmm.
then you have that to go by, and it's not someone just saying, oh, I saw that. Well, yeah, how do you know you saw that? You know, I mean, there's people out there, like you said, that do that. Or if you catch something on audio, and I've done that before, and you're in a room with, you know, five or six people, and maybe somebody hears something, and you're like, I didn't hear anything, but you play it back, and there's something on there,
mm-hmm.
then you can substantiate it, and you can say, yeah, okay, that was nowhere else in this room, but captured. You can actually put some kind of, you know, concrete evidence there to it to say, you know, it caught something. It's a weird experience sometimes too when you have that.
Well, Joy mentioned something last week. She said that a lot of places don't embrace the fact that they are haunted. A lot of places downplay the fact that they have spirits and stuff. And it may be along the same line you both are just mentioning here, and the fact that people aren't open to the fact that there's things there, so therefore they dismiss it as, or the wind, or something wasn't balanced, and that caused it to fall, and things like that. And it's really maybe some apparition out there that is doing it, and if they open up to that, then a lot of these places are haunted, because they say, hey, we really are, because I have experienced it. So,
would that change their, who they get coming in there? How do you put that? Like if you're eating at a restaurant, and, you know, it's a good family home restaurant or whatever, and a good atmosphere, and then all of a sudden the next week they come up and say, oh, we've got this ghost, we've got this haunt, you know, this kind of thing. Are the same people going to keep going there, or now they're going to be turned away because that's not their thing?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. The one thing that I look at, though, our winery was haunted. I mean, really. Really haunted. and I think I told you this last year. I was sitting in the office one night and, you know, catching up on some stuff. And we had these large windows that you could look out into the winemaking area. And I had my dog with me. And I'm sitting there and he's laying there by me. And he suddenly jumped up and growled. And it was, you know, nothing for my husband or my father-in-law to walk through the winery. And so I get up, and as I open the door to the office, I see icy air. And, you know, a winery is kept cool, but this was like opening the door in January.
Mm-hmm.
And Murrow's hair, the hackles just raised up on his back, and he growled menacingly. And suddenly there was a man in 18th century frontier garb with a muzzleloader on his shoulder who walked right past me, within 10 feet of me, and through a wall. And I was stunned. I'm still thinking about it. Is that, oh, wow, I can remember every detail of that. And he had no idea I was there. So it was almost, I'm totally at a loss of what that is called, but it's not a conscious haunting. It's like, you saw a replay of something that happened
mm-hmm.
years and years ago. And it was that bizarre moment of, I looked down at my dog and he looked up at me, and I slammed the door shut and I called my husband and said, get over here. I'm not coming out. And we had a couple of the different ghost groups in the region. I do a girls' night around Halloween, and we'd have a ghost group over. And people would love it. I mean, I would have 30 or 40 girls there drinking wine and waiting to hear when they came back from the back of the winery, you know, to play the EVPs and let them hear what they picked up. And both groups picked things up. They picked up voices. They picked up kind of smoky images in the dining room. And these were the rooms where you really didn't want to be. You know, we would have a big murder mystery dinner. And then after everybody's gone and done and, you know, it's midnight and you're packing everything up. And my girls would always get it cleaned up really quick and they'd go back up to the front of the winery. And, you know, I'd be pulling tablecloths and things. And you would just get that feeling of leave. It would be that, I'll just finish this tomorrow, close the door. It was just an odd room to be in alone, and especially at night. And there were areas, even outside of the winery, because this is the family farm where my husband grew up. And he would tell you, you know, this is Spooker Woods. And then, yeah. He's not kidding, because there were 5 kids in his family, and nobody would play on that plot of land. Nobody wanted anything to do with it. Huh. And we would have people come and do picnics. No one would ever go into that area. It was almost like it had an invisible do not enter sign. And we had one of the ghost groups. We took a tour around the winery, and they didn't want to go into it with their equipment. So I took that to be, if the ghost people don't want to go in here, you're not going to find me going in there.
Where was this located? What state?
Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah, in southeastern Illinois. Yeah. And it was an area where no one ever wanted to go. Now, here's a bizarre thing. This is before I ever did cemeteries. And we have just opened the winery, you know, and how you, it's like having a new baby. You're taking pictures all the time. So I'm taking pictures as I'm walking across the drive one day. And, of course, it's autumn and the leaves are pretty. And this is back when we had, you know, the old-fashioned cameras that took film. And I had the film developed, and I'm going through the photos. And there is one photo, and up in the trees is the face of a man, and it does look Native American, which this was an area which, you know, across from Vincennes, Indiana, there were some skirmishes here with George Rogers Clark. There were, it was Indian territory for a long time, and it was kind of that strange, whoa, I don't know how that face got up in the trees, and I still have the photo, and still no one who's looked at it can explain what that is. And it was just in the one photo. It was there. It was gone. So, yeah, we had a lot of odd / cool things happen.
Everyone out, and for those listeners out there, this is all about wine, by the way. But I guess if people are open to this, then they will be more receptive to seeing things or hearing things than if they immediately discount anything and everything. So, you know, I guess the bottom line here is, you know, don't reject anything. Be open. And I do want to take this moment, too. If anyone out there is listening to this and you have a ghost story or spirit or something, email us or even call in or, you know, get in touch with us. Let us know about it. You know, it's not that we're going to change our format, but it'd just be cool if you have any experiences out there with it. We'd love to hear from you. So,
you know, you can do like I am, and you can tell the story with a glass of wine in your hand.
There you go.
So that covers it, right?
That covers it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, it's just, I think, you know, if you're receptive to it, if you're open to it, then it becomes easier to understand it. But then again, you know, I think, Joy, you might have mentioned the fact, or Mike, that if you look for it, you're going to find things that aren't there. And that may be a problem, too. And like, you know, Ghostbusters on Sci-Fi Channel. Every once in a while, I'll catch some of the episode. I don't watch all the time, but some of the stuff they say, oh, that was there, and you're going, whoa, wait a minute. No, I mean, maybe you're hoping it was, and so therefore to you it was, and I think that may happen too.
Right, and for the majority, I don't watch those because they do cemeteries, and I don't want to be prejudiced. when I walk into one thinking, "Ooh, this is the haunted cemetery." But
oh,
that's
yeah.
There is in Decatur, Illinois. It's one of the top 10 haunted cemeteries in the country, and it's called Greenwood. And I went there a couple of years ago to shoot, and there are so many stories about this place. I mean, unbelievable number of stories. But what really caught me, and it was an odd feeling, is there is a hill that you can go up on top of, and you know, there's hills and valleys, but you go up on top of this hill, and that is where the Union dead are buried, and they have a very nice cemetery. It's not a national, but it's just for where the local Union boys were buried, and there's a whole story with that. There used to be a train that traveled right by the cemetery during the Civil War. It was a troop train, and they would bring the Confederate prisoners up that way as they were taking them to another location to basically hold them as POWs. And when they would get about to Decatur, most of the men who had been injured from the South had passed away. They had a lot of them who were pretty close to dying, and they would stop the train there. This is a cemetery, and they would offload the bodies. They had large burial holes waiting to where they could just put them off the train, bury them, and then move on with whoever was left that was still alive. Some of the people that they buried were not dead.
Ooh.
And this is a very, very heavy, uncomfortable area. When you go down that hill from the Union graves, they buried the Confederate soldiers at the base of that hill. And then, unfortunately, the Sangamon River, which is located right there by it, has flooded several times.
Mm.
When it's flooded, it basically unearthed the Confederate remains and washed them away in the flood.
Mm.
So now there is a lot of reported activity in that area at the base of that hill where you have these unknown soldiers who were buried who are not resting in peace. And they have seen lights. They have heard voices. The disembodied cries, especially at night, and they can see silhouettes or shadows roaming the base of the hill as if they're searching for their remains. And it really was, I did not realize at the time until I saw the Union graves exactly where I was. And as I wound my way down that hill, it just was really not a place you wanted to be, and there are still no graves there. They did not take that land later on in the 20th century and use it for burials. It's a section of this cemetery in the city that is avoided even by the cemetery itself for burying. So that was, to me, there are all these spooky tales, but that was the real oddity to me, is that, you know, we're now in the 21st century and it's still not being used 150 years later.
Wow.
So there's an oddness to it there. And when you get on the other side of the road, maybe a quarter of a mile away, they have another strange place. They had a public mausoleum that was built there in 1908. And unfortunately, it was not built well. The construction was shoddy. The mausoleum started leaking. Then at that time, the cemetery couldn't afford the repairs, and it just went into disrepair. And they had to close it in 1957 because it was just too unsafe for people to go to. And they could hear voices. They could hear people crying in it. They could hear screams coming out of the building.
Hmm.
And in 1967, they demolished the building. But they tried to identify the people who were buried in the mausoleum and have family members either select another gravesite or accept the remains. For those that no one claimed, this is another situation where they dug a common grave and buried the people there. And that is another section of the cemetery that they are still not using. So there were over 100 unclaimed bodies, and you can... I felt the pressure there. I did not hear or see anything, but I have been told there are lights moving around among the common graves at night, that you can hear people talking. You can still hear screams in the area. So they have, at that location alone, they have two places where there are or were mass graves that are places to be, and it seems like the activity has picked up there a lot, too.
Wow. There's a field trip for you, Mike. Can you imagine?
Thank you. We don't agree with, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
But they have some great stones, too. I mean, they have some gorgeous stones.
Mm.
But the history kind of makes you step back and go, wow.
Yeah.
You mentioned,
wow.
I have to bring this up. I have to give PBS a little plug here. There was a program on PBS, and I'm sure you can go to your local PBS stations or online PBS, but there was a program talking about the Civil War and the dead of the Civil War. It said the Civil War is actually when we as a country started to change our attitude about the dead and how we approach death and everything else. And it was an extremely interesting program. I think it was like a 3-hour-long program. I sat and watched it one night, and I just walked away just absolutely amazed. But it went into a lot of the detail of how we as Americans treated our dead before the Civil War, and then the Civil War came along, and it created a whole new approach because of what was happening. And it wasn't like, you couldn't put your loved one to rest like you normally could, or you couldn't observe and all that, because they would be gone, and you would get a letter saying they were passed away, and people would go and try to find the bodies and stuff, just to do it. And it's a very interesting program. The Dead and the Civil War or something like that, but it was on PBS. And, Joy, you really enjoy that program because it really was quite interesting. But just how this country changed their attitude about death and the dead and burials and all that. And so it was quite interesting.
Yeah, that's why we started doing embalming, is they were trying to get these soldiers back home. And they literally developed embalming on the field to try to get them shipped back, to get the remains back to the families. Mm-hmm. And, that stayed with us ever since, 150 years, and we still do embalming. And that was actually the catalyst.
A lot of things came out of the Civil War, and as far as funerals and our approach to it and all that. It was just, interesting program. I really enjoyed it. But we were talking about Civil War and how they buried the Unions and the Confederates in different spots and all that. And it talked about different areas where the Union and the Confederates were separated and segregated and different things all around and all. So, excuse me, it was quite an interesting program. So, again, I repeat, anyone out there has any stories about spirits or hauntings or anything like that, get in touch with us. You can get in touch with All About Wine, 101.com, or the winery even. Send a note to me at the winery, or send me your phone number, or send me an email, or whatever, because we'd like to know if you have any, it's funny, because people come in, I tell them, come into the winery, and I say, the program, I tell them about All About Wine, and I said the program, we're going to be talking about haunted wineries and all that. And it's so many people. I tell them about the story about the Belval winery, where the owner and his little 4-year-old daughter, and she was talking to somebody in the hallway, and there was nobody there. And every time I tell that, people get goosebumps. They go, ooh, that gave me goosebumps. You know, so, so I think a lot of people are more open to it than what they want to admit.
Yeah.
I think you're right on that.
So,
and
well,
it's also,
Joy.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. You were saying.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that's another reason why people are leery of cemeteries is, you know, they expect something to happen there. And as we were talking earlier, really a cemetery is not an extremely haunted location. It may have some oddities going on, but it isn't like going into a hospital or an insane asylum or somewhere where there has been so much sorrow and tragedy and grief. It's like it hangs in the air. And the cemetery, for the most part, is just, you know, where we're putting the remains. So it doesn't have that same, or shouldn't have that same connotation of being somewhere scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would understand that fully, you know, because, you know, like I say, most of the time when we do hear about hauntings, it is in places. It's not so much as a cemetery, you know, except on movies.
Well, yeah, they have done a disservice to the cemeteries.
Yes, they have. Yeah. Yes, they have. Well, Joy, thank you so much again for your time and your stories and your knowledge. Again, Joy's Joy of Wine blog. She does an excellent job. Every week she comes out with a new one. Subscribe. Also, A Grave Interest. If you're interested, she has lots of stories on that. I catch both of them. I have them both delivered to my email every week, and so it's very easy to do it that way. And then if you are ever in the Cincinnati, Ohio, Indiana area, don't forget her Tour de Joy and check that out. I'd love to be able to get up there for that myself sometime.
Yeah,
it does. It really does. And so... And if you want any more information or if you forget it, you know, you can always, you know, contact me and I'll give you links to it there. That's not a problem either. So, again, thank you very much for taking your time. And we will reserve again next October for more haunted and spirits and all that from Joy Neighbors.
Excellent. Well, thank you, guys.
We're going to have her on and talk a little bit more about her the tour that she's doing. Maybe after it gets to roll, what, in November? November? Okay. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
We could look at the beginning. I'll tell you about those chocolate tours.
Ooh. Oh.
A little pairing of chocolate, a little wine.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not for the clients.
Tagging along.
Yeah, really. So thank you very much, Joy. We'll look forward to talking to you next year. And like Mike said, we'll discuss the Tour de Joy and other stuff. So have yourself a wonderful year, and we'll talk to you next October.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Hey. I don't know if you
Thanks,
Tyler. Oh, okay.
I had to look and be sure I didn't click you out, not her.
Wait, what?
Hello?
Yeah. I was there, I was thinking, before October, if we could have her, back on once her tours get started up, maybe could be later on this year or something if she wants to give
us
an update or something.
January, February. Oh, I'll wait until March. So after the chocolate tour, we'll get a hold of her. I've got her email. I'll email her and say, hey, let's get you on and we'll talk about your tours and your winery tours and stuff, because she'll have some winery tours under her belt at that time too. So, so we'll do that.
Really cool to have on the show. She's got a lot of cool things to talk about. So, really good.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Joy's Joy of Wine. It's a good site. People out there, I mean, you know, check it out. And A Grave Interest. It's always fun to read that one too, So.
Yeah.
So check that out also. Festival this weekend. We've got where is it? I can't find it here. Wine Fest. Here we go. Big Mac in a little over a minute here. I'll let you listen to this information first.
Right. Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
All right.
You know, something we never mentioned is that attending Wine Fest is free. So it's not like you have to pay admission or anything like that. It's totally free. It's only, you know, it only costs you, obviously, if you want to purchase something from one of the many vendors that are there, or you want to do, you know, something in the winery itself or purchase wine and that kind of thing. So, but attendance is totally free. So, you know, come out and enjoy the day. And you have live music this weekend, I'm guessing. The weather's going to be great.
Actually, this weekend is our annual San Antonio Art Fest. We mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Let me tell you a little bit more about this. We've got San Antonio's a small town just up the road from the winery. If you've ever heard of Marin County, California, the Marin County is just north of San Francisco, and a lot of artists go there, and it's a very big place for artists to gather and do stuff and all that. Well, San Antonio is the Tampa Bay area, the Tampa, Florida area for the same type of artists. There's a lot of artists that live in San Antonio. It's a very small little town, and we're going to have artists there that this Saturday that are painters, sculptors, all sorts of art. Any type of things that you can think of, we'll have people there representing and showing their work and having it available for sale. Or if you want to commission a piece, they'll do that. There's just all sorts of ones that will be out there. They were there last year. We did this last year, and it was a tremendous success. They loved it. And we tried to do one in the spring, but it was just we couldn't get it all together. But they've been looking forward to it, and we're going to be doing it now every year. We also, along the same line with the artists, we've got six different musicians from the San Antonio area. They'll be there to entertain you, offer their CDs for purchase if you want, book them for events if you want or whatever. So we'll have a whole bunch of different things there this weekend, plus our normal list of vendors. We've got some that are coming back. Don's Woodworking will be back. He's been off for the last couple of months because of the heat, but he's an excellent woodworker. He'll be there, and we've got food vendors, and we've got pet clothing vendors. We've got all sorts of things available this weekend. So I don't have the list in front of me. I'm not as prepared as Mike usually is on this stuff. But But this is always a good weekend, and the weather is supposed to be absolutely positively Chamber of Commerce perfect. You know, I mean, it's just this is going to be one of those just absolutely beautiful weekends, and it's going to we're going to have a great festival, and there's going to be a lot of stuff, and the wine's all set, and I'm going to be bottling spice tomorrow. So I'll have fresh spice on the shelf for you to purchase and taste and purchase, and everything else is there. So come out. We'll look forward to seeing everyone. And come out, if you don't want to email me, come out and tell me your own ghost story, and I'll make notes of it and pass it on in a future episode here of All About Wine.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, it's free to attend, so, you know, bring the family out and spend some good time outside underneath the oak trees, like, you know, enjoy the event and everything, and do some shopping. Holidays are right around the corner, and they're approaching fast, and this is a great time to pick up some unique items and some wine and other gifts in there. So, yeah, definitely come out to the winery this weekend. So, yeah, check it out.
And we are always pet-friendly. So if you want to bring your pet out with you, obviously leash-controlled, good. But we are always pet-friendly, so keep that in mind, too. And,
yeah. Family-friendly, pet-friendly. It's always a good time. So check it out. And be there. Be there. Be there. Be there.
Saturday. Be there.
Yeah. All
be
right.
There.
Sounds good.
So, Mike, thanks for calling in.
Hey,
we do appreciate
been a lot of fun.
That. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Hopefully next week you'll have your computer up and running. And
connected.
Yeah, and then you're starting out on a new job venture, so good luck with that. And
well, thank you.
Hopefully they don't assign you to work every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, so you won't be able to join us here or your radio program.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I don't know yet. At least for the next couple of weeks, it'll be smooth sailing. But as far as schedule goes, we'll find out.
After that, we'll see what's going on. Thanks for joining us tonight by calling in. Okay. We'll look forward to seeing you as part of the team without being a calling guest.
All right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to do that too before, so I understand that. So very good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you next week, seeing everybody out there. We'll look forward to seeing you too next week, Mike. We'll get you on back with us.
Yep.
And
thank you, Joy. Thank you, Joy, for taking the time out, and good luck with your new venture. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again soon, and all your success and everything up there. So very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
So.
Outro
here. Yeah, let me thanks all for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.